Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Sean Fitz, I'm Nate Bauer. The Penn State football team is getting ready for spring practice. Right now it is still spring break, but things are happening. Penn State football coming back. The lifeline from the doldrums of January and February they're finally going away. So we have football and things are going to get cracking here pretty soon.
Penn State gets underway on Tuesday. We'll have James Franklin on a press conference, get a little practice action on Tuesday afternoon. It's nice. It's nice because February is just like, you got to grind it out. You've got to go with what you've got. You usually don't have much. We've got Penn State basketball tonight, so that's good. You've got Penn State basketball tonight. I'm sure I'll watch it as well. But obviously, you cover it with a little more vigor than I will pay attention to the game, so that's good. But yes, we're going to focus on spring football right now because it is almost spring football season. Penn State is ready to go. They start a little bit later. The spring break thing is kind of weird because – Penn State's is so early, most schools is a little bit later. So a lot of schools get some practice time in, go away for spring break and come back and get that done. Penn State, it changes a lot of things. Like Penn State didn't have any visitors in before spring break, which is, it's fine. You can get by with that unless you have a pandemic hit or something like that. And all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball there. But they'll hit the ground running with those next week as well. So just everything gets back up to speed very quickly when you have a spring break at this point. So, but we've got things to address. Penn State still does not have a defensive line coach. If I'm handicapping it, which I'm not because of James Franklin coaching search or assistant coaching search is just absolutely brutal every time. And it's getting tighter and it's getting even worse to cover. But I think they'll have something soon. Of course, with spring practice starting Tuesday, you've got that, I guess, unofficial barrier that you have to get something in place before that. Not necessarily have to do it, but it seems like that they want to get something done. So a Friday news dump would not surprise me for the defensive line position. Of course, Deion Barnes still floating around, and he's going to be on the staff no matter what. But it'll just be an interesting dynamic when they get to that. John Scott Jr. said goodbye this week. Hilarious when you know John, when you follow John and his maybe lack of in-depth tech profile. You know, he's not on Twitter very often. You talk to people around that building. It was tough to get him on the phone at times. You know, it's just a different contact point. He finally got around to thanking the program, so that was good. So yeah, that's about the news and notes of it. Like I said, spring break, not a lot happening. Players all over the country right now. They'll come back and they'll get ready to get in the pads next week.
Do you have a sense, just given the report last weekend? I believe it was on Saturday, right? About the Bears assistant coach. What's the sense of urgency for these things, right? Like sometimes it feels like it's something to hammer out. And then other times it just honestly feels like James Franklin is very patient about it, which I don't necessarily, like, I don't have a real feel for why that is, given the fact that he seems so impatient about so many other things, right? I mean, it's go, 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 try to lock these things down. But it does seem like he's extraordinarily thorough when it comes to making hires like this. Is that fair?
Thorough is a good way to put it. I think he is impatient because he always wants to get going and get moving. And of course he's away this week as well. But I think there's a level of impatience where for a normal person, there's a level of impatience for a college football coach. Those things are very, very different. But I mean, it is late February, early March where this is all happening. So like it's a different mindset. You don't have to get, a guy in for the next visit weekend like you do in January. But at the same time, you want to get this guy in front of your defensive line room. I think this is an interesting dynamic. A defensive line room that's going to stump for Deion Barnes all day. And that's natural because that they want what they know, and they know Deion Barnes. And James Franklin has to take that into account. But at the same time, almost completely ignore it, because that's not what the hire is. The hire is not the guy that your defensive linemen want. And it's just a delicate situation. And I will say, just trying to follow a lot of this contract talk is tough, because you've got certain guys that, you know, we talked about a guy on the board last week that his head coach did not allow him to interview for this job. And this guy would have been a prime candidate for the job.
Yep.
His head coach wouldn't let him interview him because of the contract language and things like that. So these are the little things that you have to work through. And these are the things that you have to basically fine tune. You mentioned the assistant coach from the Bears, not a lot of traffic coming from the NFL to the college game these days. And I think that those pro coaches have that kind of leverage where it's like, I don't feel like recruiting, so I'm just not going to, I'm going to stay here, which sounds fantastic. But it's just, there's a lot of, I don't want to say boxes to check because that's overly general, but there's a lot of, like, you know, I's to dot and T's to cross, and we're going to throw different cliches into that. It's very hard to get some of these things across the line sometimes, but yeah, that's my roundabout way of saying this is all a cluster. Not so much in the sense it's a James Franklin screw up or anything like that. It is just how you hire coaches these days. And unless you've got somebody lined up ready to go, like they had Mike Yurcich a couple of years ago, it can go down this path.
Yeah. Needless to say, though, practice starts Tuesday. We're not going to say that it's an impossibility that they wouldn't have somebody, but you would think, is that a fair place to put that?
Yeah, we'll file it under you would think. Yeah.
You would think. Moving on from the defensive line, Penn State will have James Franklin talking on Tuesday. Obviously, I think that we're practiced at this enough at this point to be able to handicap fairly well the things that he's going to talk about. Called it before his February press conference, leadership, right? I mean, it's going to continue to be a topic. I would anticipate he's going to talk about the quarterback position. I think he's going to talk about the newcomers. I mean, is there anything that you're specifically looking for from that press conference on Tuesday that sort of sets the stage of, because it happens every year, right? There's always a theme. There's always a story that kind of starts at the beginning of spring practice and runs through the course. Is there anything that you're expecting along those lines?
Not much besides what you mentioned. He always talks about the newcomers. He always talks because that's where you see the most progress, is the guys that just got on campus and sort of blow up and go from there. So Tony Rojas is going to be a point of contention there. Storm Duck and the transfers and things like that. So, like, a lot of those things are going to be talking points for him. You know, just like Zane Durant was last year, just like Nick Singleton and Catron Allen were last year. You talk about the newcomers because, you know, that's, you get fresh eyes on them and things change a little bit faster when you're a younger player. Like, I think he's going to talk a lot in terms of generalities about position groups, talk about the offensive line, talk about the tight end room is good. The cornerback room is good. You know, just those things like that. And as you mentioned, leadership. And I think he'll also talk about some of the general things that are off the field. Neely and Pat, you know, they've been great. And right. I think he's gonna hammer that point home as well. So I think there's a lot of not changing the names and ad-libbing it from year to year, but it's basically what we see from him from the outset every spring.
Yeah. It's just, and I asked you this previously, but it's going to be different in terms of setting the expectations for what last year's group of early enrollees brought to the table versus this year's, right? And it's not in any way a point against the guys this year. It's simply a matter of, like, that was a rarity to have that many players come in and have that type of impact. And I'm not even including Abdul Carter in that, right? I mean, it's literally, you've got two running backs in Catron Allen at Singleton, obviously Drew Aller, Bo Prabula doing things, Zane Durant. You just had a host of guys who really kind of caught attention very early in the process.
At positions that you can catch attention at that point. I mean, you've got, they're excited about the three offensive linemen that they brought in, but what does that mean? Because all those guys need to, you know, fine tune and get bigger and get stronger and all that kind of stuff. And we did round tables this week on, you know, freshmen to watch, whatever. And I laid that freshman out in front of you and you're like, or I guess it was Greg was like, can we do newcomers? That way we can put, you know, Storm Duck in there or Malik McLean in there. Greg went with that, with Riley Thompson, the punter.
Love it.
That's kind of where we're at. Like, it's unfair to this class to compare them to the prior class, because not only did the prior class have more of those freak athletes, which, you know, Tony Rojas is in there. Elliot Washington's a guy that I highlighted, is a really good athlete for freshmen, but those guys were on a different level. And they were also at a position where you had opportunity in running back and you had notoriety in quarterback. So that's kind of where that all focuses. And that's where we leave it with that freshman class.
Yeah. So with that in mind and including those newcomers, I think that they're going to be people that we talk about, certainly this spring, but also when we get to the battles, right? It's always like, it's the spring position battles. It's what we're going to talk about, but you had a great idea. Where are they? Okay. Where are they fine? Where are they good to great? Like where do you feel good about to anywhere from feeling really good to, okay. They're all right.
Well, it's a funny thing because like you can still have position battles and feel good. I highlighted the safeties the other day where I think KJ Winston and Zaki Wheatley are coming. Like, I think those guys are going to be good. And I think those guys are going to make it not uncomfortable for Keaton Ellis and Jalen Reed, but they're going to get a lot of reps this spring. They're going to have the opportunity to do so. But like, no matter which four are out there, you feel pretty good about that position. So that's kind of like, they're fine. They're fine in that sense. Defensive end, same way. You've got a couple of starters coming back, or, you know, when you have three starters at a position, you can work that. You can work through that. And you've got Adisa Isaac and Chop Robinson coming back, but you also feel pretty good about Denai Dennis Sutton coming along and maybe Amin Vanover and things of that nature. So I think it's a very healthy exercise to look at this roster and say, yes, there's competition and there's always competition and things like that, but yeah, they're fine. Like no matter who wins that job, I think it's going to be fine. You got three corners that you think are starters, and then you feel that Cam Miller is a guy that can help you out there. So like, I think it's a general, when you look at this team, when you look at the opportunity that they have, the window that they think they have, it's because they're deep. It's because they have the opportunity to throw different combinations out there and still be talented combinations. Still concerns, still places they need to get better, but there's a bunch of spots on this roster, and you couldn't say this in the last couple of years. They're fine.
Right. And there's a huge difference between the battle to be starting left tackle, right, versus the fourth tackle in the rotation, right? Like there's a huge difference between, yeah, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are going to be competitive this spring. You would anticipate that, right? Is who anybody that creates separation is always welcomed and warranted. So it's not as though that's going to disappear. Certainly everyone's going to expect both of those guys to play a monumental role in what they do next season, but there's the other side of it of, okay, who's three? Right? Like the situation that they had there last year in the spring specifically has pretty radically transformed in terms of exits from the program with Kevon Lee, Devin Ford, and Keziah Holmes. So it just feels like there's a lot of that tight end, right? Is you've got guys that you know very, very well, and you would anticipate to continue to take strides. Right? Is it a huge battle between Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren? I don't know if I would say that, but yeah, there's probably things that we're looking at for the third guy, right? Who steps in there, who becomes that piece of the puzzle all over the field, right? It's not just tight end. It's not just running back. It feels like there's a lot of that this spring.
You've got interesting, uninteresting position battles in the sense that it may not matter as much when you're going out and playing against Ohio State if you have all your guys healthy and things like that.
Totally.
But the fourth offensive tackle spot between, you know, Jimmy Crist and Alex Birchmeyer, that's going to be a tier below the three guys that they have with starting experience and Olu, Drew Shelton, and Caden Wallace. And then it's going to be a drop off. And of course, you're going to rotate guys around. You're going to figure out, you know, your third tackle is going to play before, you know, your backup. Like if you had a depth chart where you have a guy at left tackle, or two guys at left tackle, two guys at right tackle, one of those guys goes down, well, the third tackle is going to move over. It's not necessarily going to be the next guy up at left tackle. So that's an interesting position battle. Third tight end, Khalil Dinkins has been very good this winter. Jerry Cross has been very good this winter. Will he play a lot? Will those guys get on the field? I don't know. I mean, that's a question about the guys in front of him for the most part. So there's that linebacker, like what's behind Curtis Jacobs at Sam. Dom DeLuca played really well last year. Tony Rojas seems to be coming along. So you feel good about that. It's just a bunch of these positions where the battles are maybe a little bit further down the depth chart. And that's fine. Like that's great. That's where you want to be when you have as much talent coming back as Penn State has.
Yeah, that is absolutely what you want if you're Penn State. We're killing the sell right here. Sign up for $30 between now and the start of the football season at Blue White Illustrated and on the On3 Network. Obviously, I'm making a little bit of a joke, but there are all of these things that once you peel back the onion a little bit, are pretty interesting. They're pretty interesting things. That
if you look at Ohio State, like they obviously have talent, you know, coming out of everywhere there. And it's up top, but like the difference in the roster from 50 to 85 is, you know, that's something that's going to continue to make your program better over the years. So I think Penn State from a roster building standpoint is getting to the point where they're a lot deeper, a lot more talented at those lower positions on the depth chart. And that's going to help them at some point. I mean, you look at November last season, and the offensive line you're trotting out there is guys that we're going to talk about in position battles for this year, and JB Nelson, Vegi Ione, Drew Shelton coming in and burning his red shirt, guys like that, you know, passing up Golden Achiumba and Ibrahim Traore, Jimmy Chris, those type of guys. So that's, you're sort of eating from the bottom there and getting stronger as you do. So I think all these battles are, I say important position battles, but all these battles are, you know, stuff that are going to make your roster from 1 to 85 better, especially in the area of the transfer portal where you can, you know, those guys are going to find themselves in a different program in a year. So I think that's what I look at when I say, and I also thought this would be right up your alley, man, because you're like,
I love it.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, the guy that doesn't get too high or too low on anything, I figured this would be right in your wheelhouse.
It totally. I feel that way about most of their roster this spring. Is that they're going to be okay in a lot of positions. It doesn't mean, however, and I mean, I guess this is kind of the natural trajectory of this conversation, right? Is what are we doing with quarterback? What, like, how are we gonna frame this? Because in the minds of literally everyone, I don't know anyone outside of internal coach speak who is framing this as a battle. And so what's the give and take between, okay, Bo Prabula actually having a shot at becoming a starter at Penn State this season versus keeping things in perspective and saying, okay, Drew Lar did this last preseason enough to pass Christian Veiu, earn the second string spot, got a bunch of reps, right? Played in key moments when Sean Clifford, certainly in the first game, had to come out. Like, where do you land on this? how do you want to come at it in terms of framing the conversation there at that position?
It's so funny because, like, when you talk to people in the program, you have to sort of filter out what's going on in terms of Bo, because they are so excited about this kid. Like, yeah. Like in another year, if Drew's not here, he's a starter. Like, that's kind of where they feel about this. And you have to balance out, like, what does that mean in relation to Drew? And the other thing is, like, all these other positions we talk about don't really matter that much until you find out what you've got at quarterback and you figure out where you're at with that. So I don't know how to frame that, to be honest with you, because especially with, you know, Drew is so damn talented, but Bo is just completely different. Like, not saying he's not talented, but like, he's the worker. He's the guy that that the everyman wants, you know, to be out there. So I don't know. It's so tough to, and we're going to talk about this for the next 7 months or 6 months or whatever it is, in terms of quarterback, because I think they're going to stretch this thing out. But yeah, it's a fine tooth argument, because it's just going to keep coming back to quarterback, and I don't know how to handicap it at this point. Like, it makes sense, and everybody that you talk to expects Drew to be the guy, but then they don't want to write off Bo because Bo is a talented guy as well. I don't know, man. Like, it's just, is it just talking points? Is that where we're at right now with the quarterback position?
Yeah. Look, like, I'm naturally going to go to Christian Hackenberg and Trace McSorley, even though it's not that, right? Christian Hackenberg was the guy in 2015, but McSorley was there, right? Like, there was no lack of conversation and buzz about McSorley kind of behind the scenes as Christian was getting knocked around like a rag doll throughout that season. And so, you know, it's almost as though, yeah, we're going to make some presumptions and feel pretty good about it, right? We're going to say, okay, Drew Aller, he's going to be the quarterback. He's going to be the starter next season. But keep an eye on this kid, right? Keep an eye on Prabula, because there is enough conversation that I'm not sure I'm willing to go so far as to say, I expect it to be an actual, like, yeah, this is down to the wire kind of deal. I don't think that. But I do think that he's going to be a guy that people have to watch.
And we've talked to enough people where, like, you can work yourself into that argument in your head that transfer portal era, they're saying good things about Bo to keep Bo around. But I don't think that's the case. Like, we've seen that stuff before. I think we've got pretty good filters on that. And I don't think that's really the issue here.
Let me clarify here, just so that my point is not mistaken. I do not anticipate Drew Aller to have the same type of career that Christian Hackenberg ended up having, even though Christian obviously did have a lot of success in a lot of ways. The wins certainly didn't follow necessarily in just a radically different situation, you know, just a completely different era and time in the program. But you would think that Drew has it all in front of him, right? Yeah. There's just this opportunity and, hey, a big part of that, and talking to Chuck Losey after their workout last week, Drew is not a naturally loud guy, right? He's not a boisterous, he's not a, hey, look at me kind of guy, but they're going to want to see some of that. They're going to want to see some of him stepping up and saying, hey, this, like, yeah, I'm going to beat Bo in the competition, but also this is my team. This, by default, this is my team. And I think that's hard. That's hard for any guy to do, let alone somebody who's kind of filling into the shoes of a Sean Clifford, who really had that locked down for 3 years, right? In his tenure at Penn State.
Yeah.
What else?
I don't know. Let's move on from quarterbacks here.
You can't talk about it all day. What else are we watching? What are some of the positions that you are keen and interested in keeping an eye on this spring?
The interior offensive line is interesting because we saw Landon Tangwall last week at lifting. He was not doing anything. He's obviously coming off of an injury that cost him most of the season last year, so you would expect that to carry over from a contact standpoint. And I said the same thing about Jalen Reed. Like, there's no reason to have these guys running full speed into each other if they're trying to, you know, if they're 85% or whatever. So, so that opens some things up for JB Nelson. You know, we look at Vega Ione as a potential guy that can work in at guard and center. Sal Wormley's been around a long time. So I think those guys on the interior, those younger guys in the interior, are going to get a chance. You know, they're going to get an opportunity this spring to get more reps than you would probably think when you take into account the lack of experience, or at least the experience ahead of them. So I look at the interior offensive lineman as an opportunity for you to get five guys coming out of spring that you feel comfortable about. Put them with the three guys you feel comfortable about at tackle, and that's eight guys. That'll get you far enough, as far as you want to be. And then you take into account Birchmeyer, you take into account some of those other guys that may be on the fence about contributing early or being that guy. Crist, you know, is obviously a guy on the fringe there. So and you start to feel better about that group. So I think that's probably a spot where, yes, they will be fine, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for Nelson and Ione especially to step forward and to make strides in that area. So I feel better about the offensive line than we have in recent years. But I think they can still get better. And I think that's the exciting thing about that group.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. No question. I'm looking myself at the receivers. I just don't know how.
I don't see you as a receiver. Right. Sorry.
I'm going to take my hat out of the ring on that one. But no, it's you're losing two guys, and there just hasn't been established production. Keandre obviously had some injuries that he had to deal with last season, but came on strong at the end of the year, right? That Michigan State game and the Rose Bowl were both good performances for him. A springboard. I think obviously he wants it, right? He wants to be that guy, and his teammates were talking about him, right? As kind of being a leader of that room, stepping up, doing those kind of things that you would expect of a guy who's been in the program. But also, Malik McClain, where does he fit in, right? What does Harrison Wallace look like in year three? Caden Saunders is a guy who, you know, I don't know if we're going to classify it as buzz, but I think certainly the whoa of his true freshman year and then acclimating and starting to feel comfortable, that's a storyline, right? Where's Liam Clifford in this conversation? So there's a lot of different kind of moving pieces and moving parts, as well as players who, if they take the steps that you would expect or that they're optimistic are made, then it kind of clears things up, right? It becomes more of a, okay, well, Keandre did what he needed to do, right? Malik McClain did what he needed to do. And Dante Cephas did what he needed to do, right? Throw those guys with a Trey Wallace. And now some of those younger guys who are more developmental pieces and guys who you would expect to contribute more heavily later in their careers, it becomes less pressing. But it doesn't change the fact that this is a program, like, bottom line, needs that position. It's such a huge, important position to what their strategy is, what they want to be and build as an identity for the offense and for Mike Yurcich and for Drew Aller, like, you name it, all of those things interact together. Even Singleton and Allen, right? Like, it depends on being balanced enough to beat you however in many different ways, right? And so they're stepping up is going to be a big part of that. And you would think that it would need to start this spring for them.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of spots where we just go into the where they find. I think I don't think receivers there. You know, I think that's yeah. We haven't seen enough. We haven't seen them consistently catch the ball to put them in that category yet. Defensive tackle, obviously, in there as well. You've got some experience there with Beeman and Kaziah Izzard, but and you to a lesser extent have Devon Ellis and Jordan Vandenberg there. But like, what do you get out of that group? What's that rotation look like by the end of the spring? Whoever's coaching them, whatever. Zane Durant in there, obviously. Caleb Artis, we've heard some things on. So it's one of those ones where I would not put it across the line. You know, linebacker, it's two different arguments here. It's the outside guys and the inside guys. So we will see what happens with that. But yeah, I think receivers, defensive tackle, probably Mike linebacker is not at the point where it's like, yeah, they're fine there.
Right.
You got a lot of competition ahead. So I think that's what we're looking for. And special teams as well. We don't talk special teams probably enough on the yeah. podcast, on the show. But the battle between Alex Falcons and Sander Sahadak is going to be interesting. It's going to come down to consistency, and that's not one that you can handicap going into the season, because you're just not sure how they're going to be hitting it that day, week, month, whatever it is. And then same can be said about Riley Thompson and Alex Paqueta. I have a hard time thinking that they would go out and get Riley Thompson, especially on scholarship, if they felt comfortable with where they're at with Paqueta. So that's going to be a battle worth watching. And I think on the other side with the special teams, you got a bunch of athletes, like younger athletes on that the defensive side of the ball that can factor into coverages. They don't get into a ton of like punt coverages, kick coverages, and things like that for the spring because you don't have to. But I feel good about the units that they have coming back and the athleticism that they're coming back, covering kicks, covering punts, and things like that. Like I said, we don't talk enough about that because it is such a big part of the game. But that's going to be interesting this spring, especially with that kicker job.
Yeah, I mean it's fairly clear when you look at the four transfer portal guys, and this is in no way a keen insight, but they brought those guys for a reason, right? Like every single one of those guys is it's not just in Storm Duck's case, it seems like okay, the rich get richer because they have had successful very good cornerbacks, and you still have them. Some of those guys are still on the roster, but it's also a hey, solidify this thing, right? Be better at the position than you were before you brought these guys in. And certainly I think that Falcons and Thompson both fall in that vein, despite the fact that last spring we were talking about Alex Paquetta being there, right? Like the Blake Gillikin comments and what James Franklin said, in his spring press conference about how good Paquetta was and what the expectations were for him coming in, that dissipated, right? Like it became clear fairly early that Barney Moore was going to be the guy there. What's next, right? What's next for Alex Paquetta? Is he in a position where at this point he's taken enough strides to be able to stave off Riley Thompson? We'll see. And I think it's the same conversation for Falcons and for Sahadek, right? It's how consistent can they be and go out and win that job? But I mean, I do think that those are ultimately, given some of the issues and successes they've had in the kicking game over the last few years, both strengths and right, like that becomes a major talking point.
Yeah, if you want to get technical about it, that definitely. It's interesting because when you take a look at the kicker rankings and things like that, it's I'm not gonna say it's easy to judge, but like there are talented legs, and you've got two really talented legs there in Sahadak and Paquetta. Like on paper, like they should have the job because of what we've seen from them, how far that they can kick it, you know, the stuff that you know, going back to Joe Lurick, you know, and Stacey Collins, all those guys said that they are capable of doing it, but like more so with specialists than anybody else, there's a different pile there that's mental, that's consistency, that is how just like, can you hit your A ball at a certain clip? And they haven't shown that so far. So very curious to see how Falcons and Riley Thompson are, brought along, not brought along, but like thrust right into the competition because, you know, they're bringing those guys in for a reason. Although Falcons probably a little bit different because you're bringing him in as a walk-on. It's going to be an opportunity for all four of those guys to step up. And given where they're at with the eligibility clock on Sahadak and Paquetta, those guys still have some more time. And it's not necessarily a situation where if they lose the job, they will go out and hit the portal right away. So I think that those are very interesting. Complete mental game. I think Stacey Collins is going to play that game with them all spring, chart those kicks, and we're going to see where it comes when it's time for actually August. I was going to say the blue-white game, but that also is another data point in there. But August, September is when it matters.
Yeah, and they're going to play these up as much as they possibly can. It's the competition side of things is what they want in the program, and they're going to not hand out jobs this spring when it can be something that propels these players throughout the rest of the spring and then into the summer.
Right. Yeah.
So spring practice next week, Tuesday, is when you will see the biggest full day of coverage from us at Blue White Illustrated. I mean, obviously we have stuff every single day, so don't miss us every day between now and then. But James Franklin press conference on Tuesday afternoon, we will have practice coverage. We will have everything, reaction, you name it. It will all be at Blue White Illustrated, part of the On3.com network. It is, again, $29.99 between now and August 31st. So you get all of our information, all our scoop, all our insight for that low price between now and then. If you haven't already, please like this video. If you are listening on podcasts, please leave a review for us, rate us. 5 stars is always helpful, and it always provides us with the feedback that we need to keep doing this and try to give you guys the best product that we possibly can. So with that, that's it. I'm Nate Bauer. He is Sean Fitz, and
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.